This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
I want to get into this Charles Barkley topic. Kevin and I covered high school sports for a very long time, and I'm very curious as to how people might feel about high school sports being on TV. Do you think that it is exploitation, or do you think that it is a great opportunity for a high school athlete? 877-881-1053. But before we get into that, Kevin, a couple of big stories that are kind of popping up right now in the sports world. Matt LaFleur, the head coach for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
Did you see what he said about this team? He said, that's still something I'm trying to figure out right now
about Patton, as we speak.
He said, I mean, I don't understand that because you're there, you have the opportunity to go play in a Super Bowl. And for that to happen, it's bothersome. We have to look at ourselves, everybody. I'm going to look inside of myself, weird, and see why weren't our players playing with their hair on fire. I think everybody in the organization has to do that. And Kevin, I think it started with Aaron Rodgers. He looked like he didn't even want to be there most of the game.
Well, and he spoke out about Patton too. He was like, "Yeah, we'll see." So it didn't sound very.
But he said that he was mostly bothered by the lack of fire for that game. And Kevin, how often do you walk in and, you know, I'm told that you don't have to fire those guys up. They know what a big game it is. But is there, and I guess you just have to be right with the moment. You just have to realize they need this right now. And that comes with the psychology of your team. If Jimmy Johnson hadn't put it in the big three-inch headlines, if he hadn't said that, would that team have won that game? Maybe. But man, I think it just put even more pressure on him and took pressure off them.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting philosophy.
But then made them accountable to him.
Yeah.
So sometimes I think you just have to use the right moment to be like, "All right, y'all got to do this. We are doing this together, and I'm part of it too." So maybe that's an interesting story. The other one, Kevin, is Silvio De Sousa.
He has
been suspended indefinitely for a brawl that went down between Kansas and Kansas State last night. Now, Kevin, I still haven't figured out. I watched the video a number of times. It was a foul. Was he standing over the player and the player got mad?
So, yeah. Well, first of all, it was problematic because the game was over. Like, there was just a couple seconds left.
They had to put another second on the clock.
Yes, and they put
points. It was important.
Yeah, and so they could shoot the free throws and all that. It was, but, like, for all intents and purposes, who is going to win? The game was over.
81-60, and De Sousa blocks DeJuan Gordon's shot.
Because he made that ridiculous steal when they were just running out the clock, and then he stood over him, and then everybody lost their mind. At one point, somebody picked up a chair. There was a trash can.
He picked up the chair.
It was, oh my God, it was so
egos
running wild.
By the way, shout out to whoever stopped that chair.
Yeah.
Like, whoever that guy was. Did you see the
picture? It was his coach. It was his assistant coach, Jarence Howard, who grabbed the chair from above his head.
Did you see the picture of the male Kansas cheerleader boxing out the police officer?
Yeah. And did you see that? Did you see that one woman that was on the ground that was grabbing his leg, like trying to stop him too, also?
No, I missed that one.
Yeah. And that's the other thing about all of this. So I think it's going to be problematic, and it was already going to be bad. But one of the things is, I think they said that they crossed over into an area where some of the special needs students were.
Oh, really?
So that fight was not just breaking out like outside of the court and breaking out amongst the people. It was breaking out where there were some special needs kids. And so obviously everyone's going to be like, ooh, that's, yeah.
He's suspended indefinitely, Kevin, for what he did. When he raised that chair above his head, we saw what happened with Myles Garrett hitting a guy with a helmet.
Yeah.
And in this situation, now he's suspended indefinitely. He's never going to play in college basketball again, right?
And that puts the cap on what is like, had to have been considered a disappointing career. Is like, that's a guy that I thought people had really high expectations for. And he's like, I'm going to go back to school. And everyone's like, oh, wow, for real? And then they're like, yeah, okay, maybe you should. And he's been a disappointment.
And now he's done.
Yeah, Dick Vitale said he should never play college basketball again, and you seem to be on board. Wow.
Yeah, okay. I agree. There's no place for that. I understand second chances and everything. You can get your second chance elsewhere. And I think we gave you the chance here.
I think it was Bill Self who came out. He had a really strong just condemnation of this whole thing. And then Bruce Weber with Kansas State was like, eh, you win with class, you lose with class. This isn't okay. He was just like really nonchalant about it.
Kevin, Charles Barkley came out and said that high school basketball on TV is the ultimate exploitation. And Kenny Smith agreed with him. And Shaq, who like he's raised a star athlete, is like okay with it. He's like, oh, that's perfectly fine. You know, because Shaq has a kid and he's become a star. And I'm wondering, because we covered this for a long time. We covered the high school sports, and is it exploiting this at this age to have them on TV playing in high school where they aren't getting any money, or is it a great opportunity for a high school player?
Well, the thing about the money is that is not entirely true. A certain amount of money, like it's not a majority of it or anything like that, but a certain amount of money does come into the school or the school's scholarship fund. So that was the first thing that I would just throw out into the world. And so that's nice. I don't think it's exploitation, because when you talk to these kids, they get so excited. Like I remember, you know, I was covering Allen and Plano East when ESPN2 was coming in to do their broadcast. And I thought it was the funniest thing, because I asked the Allen coach if he was excited. He was like, not really. The last time we were on national TV, Arizona filed a cease and desist because of the A we had on our field. I was like, can you just claim letters? And they were like, the font was the same. But when you talk to the kids, they were all super excited. So are the TV networks like, do they actually care about the kids or the scholarship fund? No. And I could totally see that. They're just doing what you have to do to make sure they agree to it. But when you talk to those kids, they are more fired up for that than like a rivalry game or anything like that, because it's going to be their national TV game and their chance to show out. And you absolutely see the excitement for the kids.
See, I think one of the things that, like, you and I worked covering high school in Plano, Allen, Southlake, McKinney. We were all over the Mesquite area. And I think there may be a lot of people out there that are listening right now that were like, holy crap, I didn't realize you're the same guy, fat guy that was covering me back then.
Fact.
But yeah, we were the fat guys covering you back then. And the thing was, like, we took that job seriously, and we treated the players, the athletes, seriously too. And we didn't treat it as an opportunity to help get them scholarships. You know, although some stories did, you know, provide opportunities for them to cut it out and clip it as a highlight. Some people thought that Kevin wrote a story that didn't get one of their kids a scholarship.
Yes, and as a member of the media.
And so, but whenever I like looked at that, I always wanted them to get the opportunity to be interviewed. Like I really liked their opportunity to go through the interview process, because I got to see kids grow from their freshman to senior year in the way that they talk to us, you know, the way that they like they learned how to answer questions. And like that was a tutorial that they didn't get. So I do look at the experience
fascinating point
of playing and preparing to play for an NBA or like a TV game, I think is a great experience, because you get to do something that you're probably going to do later on. You're going to look polished by the time you get to college. And then by the time you get to the NBA, you're going to even look more polished because of that. And it's going to come off across in a way that people are going to be like, wow, that person right there not only was a great athlete, but man, they hit me with some really good stuff when they were interviewed.
From the 903, I think it's dumb that people watch high school sports on TV, and I'm a parent. I'm really fascinated by that point of view, because I have to admit, before I started working at the newspaper, I would have been very surprised to learn that this was such a market. So when I interviewed for the job and got the job, I did ask one question. I said, is this beat really, that's the whole thing? Is this enough to cover a full-time job? And my editor at the time just laughed and said, okay, you'll figure it out. And so my first week of 7-on-7 football, and I didn't cover something, and people lost their mind. I was like, oh, my God. And so you found out like really quickly how into it people are. There's a reason why like Rivals and Max Preps and all of that have blown up. There's a reason why ESPN and ESPNU televises some of these games and some of these announcements. The desire for it is there. If that's not your thing, I totally understand that. But the desire for it is there. And the whole reason ESPN is doing it is because they know people will watch. And people do watch.
And they want the ratings. And that's they're trying to get those ratings in some way, shape, or form. And somebody said, I think it's just unnecessary more than anything else. Don't see it as exploitation, though.
And that part is disappointing because you mentioned how people change and sometimes mature and everything like that. And I have to admit, you know, we've talked about this on air before, is I had a kind of a weird interaction with Jim Jeffcoat, who his son, Jackson Jeffcoat, was at one point the number one football recruit in the entire country.
Fun fact, I saw him eat, you know, that giant burrito at Freebirds?
Like, yes, nobody the can super eat? Monster?
He could crush those.
Jim or Jackson?
Jackson.
Whoa.
Like, people would talk about it all the time because I could barely eat, like, just the regular Freebird. And he would crush that like it was nothing.
And sometimes you see, I 100% believe
that. He was in great shape, too.
Yeah.
That's infuriating. Sometimes you
see... It all went to his muscles.
How, like, maybe they don't advance in the direction that you would want. So, like, Jackson was playing as a freshman for Plano West basketball and football team.
Yep.
Talk with him all the time. That was one of my beats and all of that. But by the time it got down to announcement time, I called him on his phone just to see if he had any updates. And I had talked to him dozens and dozens of times throughout the year, done stories about him and everything like that. And all of a sudden, I got a call back from his dad and said, if you want to talk to him, it needs to go through me. I was like, oh, really? When is this? When did this change? And he goes, that's always been the case. And I said, okay, but we've talked on the phone and in person numerous times. And it was just sad to see how like they had gotten caught up in the hoopla that this local media person was now an enemy of the family.
I get it, though. Like, I totally, like, at some point he was like, oh, crap, I didn't realize. And, you know, you're like, hold on, why is my son talking to this man so much? You know, like, I would think that first. Hold on, why is this guy, I don't even know this guy. Y'all had talked before, though, right? Or did y'all, you and Jim not?
Him and Jim? No.
That would have been my first, hey, can we sit down and talk?
And that would be fine. Instead, we had a tense interaction on the gym floor when he made his commitment.
You went to his house?
No.
On Jim's floor?
No, not Jim, not G-Y-M, Jim, not J-I-M, where I went to introduce myself since we had had that awkward conversation, and he stopped me while I was introducing myself, and he goes, oh, I know who you are.
Whoa.
He goes, you're the person who can't just let the process be what it is. And I think he was really mad because I revealed where he was going to school 2 weeks before he did his signing day thing.
Yeah, why'd you ruin it for the kid?
Spoiler alert.
Somebody told me, and I was going to break the story.
Hey, real quick, Kevin, tonight, I want everybody to come up to the station, come up to the studio, be here 5:30 p.m. The door's open. You can get here a little bit earlier if you want to. And you can see Nick Solak, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, Eric Nadel, and Jared Sandler all here for absolutely free. You're going to come up here and hang out. Real quick question. Does Little League World Series, is that exploiting those kids?
It is weird at what point it goes from being like a celebration to an exploitation. Because I'm sure there were people who thought like, I was exploiting the situation with Jackson, and he was such an awesome kid. Still, the greatest thing I've ever seen was the day that he had a sack, blocked a kick, won the game, and was named homecoming king all in the same game. I was like, that's the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
I think that Saturday he dunked on somebody with two hands.
Probably. He was such an awesome kid. I was legitimately excited that he had become the top prospect and all that. But it is weird how at one point it's celebration, at another point it's exploitation, and different people have different opinions about that.
Well, maybe you can ask Eric Nadel that tonight.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, there's a little bit more baseball to discuss because the Nolan Arenado chase is alive. I repeat, the chase is alive. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
I'm kind of shocked by this Willie Calhoun audio because I haven't heard anybody say anything like this openly from the Rangers organization yet. So I'm kind of interested to get into what we're about to talk about in just a second, Kevin. But before we get to that, are you super stoked about the Pro Bowl? Because
hell no.
I just saw Justin Tucker kick a 70-yard field goal, Kevin. I know.
Okay, now I'm back in.
This is the only thing. Listen, we've been trying to get rid of kickers for years. All right, sure. We've been trying to get rid of kicking in the NFL, and obviously they're trying this with the onside kick rule. And that is that next season?
No.
Or is this during the Pro Bowl?
And they're going to do it in the XFL. So I think they're just trying this out.
I still think they should do it anyway. But it's a different story for a different time. Right. But the 70-yard field goal, Kevin, we've talked so many times about why throw the Hail Mary when you can just try to kick the 70-yard field goal.
Agreed.
So what I want to see, actually, is I want to see teams in the Pro Bowl on first down from 70 yards away go for it with the field goal. You know, just on first down, just be like, hey, you know what? This is a joke anyway. Let's just see if the kicker can actually do it. Bam. All right?
Okay. I'm here for that. If you told me this will turn into a who can break the NFL record for longest field goal, I'm in.
I think that ball actually, like, went off into the forest, too, after that. So
he's got a huge leg.
Yes, he does. Absolutely, he does. All right, so a couple of things. Last night, Kevin, we heard from John Morosi that there is a reviving of the Nolan Arenado trade.
Oh my God.
And
let's make it happen.
After what happened to Dwight Powell, I need this, Kevin.
Oh yeah.
I absolutely need this. Now, evidently, the Mets are finalizing a multi-year deal to make Luis Rojas their next manager. So they're working on that right now as well. He is the son of Felipe Alou, and he managed the Dominican Republic in the World Baseball Classic. But Nolan Arenado's future with the Rockies remains uncertain, and the Cardinals and Rangers are poised to pursue trades for him in the days ahead. That is the latest story from John Morosi right now, Kevin.
And
that is posted as of
God.
4 hours ago.
It's happening.
I'm seeing on the text happening. Right now from the 682, forget Nolan Arenado, sign Castellanos, we'll sign somewhere else, and we won't get either. Do you still want an elite third baseman? Because he is elite.
Yes.
Can the Rangers pull this deal off?
Yeah.
They are the strongest suitors right now if they revive conversations, because evidently Arenado's curt response to what happened during this whole thing is the reason they were like, oh crap. He really isn't happy. So now they're having, he made the move that pushed their hand.
Is there any thought that Marcell Ozuna leaving frees up some of the cash that the Cardinals would be looking for as well? But I desperately hope this happens. I mean, probably the most glaring need that your team has right now is third base. And then if you told me you get a combination of Arenado, Gallo, and Calhoun rolling through the middle part of your lineup, I would be pretty stoked about that. And it would add another sense of excitement. You already made like the pitching move in the offseason. And now if you did the hitting move to go along with the new ballpark, I think there would be genuine excitement.
All right, here are a couple things, Kevin. Sources say the Rockies have told other teams that any Arenado trade must improve their 2020 roster this year.
Ooh.
In other words, they don't plan to begin a rebuild this spring training.
Okay.
And they would insist on one major league player to add in the prospects.
Okay, well then that's a stupid thing that they said. That doesn't improve your team. You traded this random major leaguer for Nolan Arenado. That makes your team worse.
Well, but I mean, obviously, if you were to throw Willie Calhoun in.
I mean, your team is worse. Willie Calhoun is not as good as Nolan Arenado or even
Guzman.
In that universe. No, we don't have anybody that's
Frazier.
As good as Nolan Arenado.
No, not well.
And they already got rid of Delino.
Okay, all right. So, but at least one guy, and they're probably wanting another prospect that's a potential number one. All right. The Rockies are also interested in acquiring a potential number one catcher for the long term. And the Arenado deal could help them achieve both of those. So I think the Rangers have Sam Huff.
So we'd be trading Sam Huff
for Nolan Arenado plus a major league player.
I mean, sure. Of course
plus,
I would do that.
Trying to figure out what this deal is going to be with him.
I mean, of course I would.
Look, the Cardinals also have Andrew Knizer. So they're Neiser. They could go with him as well.
Look, I like Sam Huff, but prospects are prospects, all right?
Are currency, baby.
And I already know that Nolan Arenado can ball out in Major League Baseball. So, look, if you said Sam Huff is going to be on the team this year, there's a certain collection of Rangers people that would be like, okay, nice. If you said Nolan Arenado is going to be on the team, what?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Dude, this for me has become my one obsession. I now only want this player. You know why? Because I want to beat the Cardinals more than anything else. Do you guys remember Game 6 of the World Series in 2011?
No.
That was not
the
game.
But what I do remember is how we're going to get Nolan Arenado over the Cardinals.
That wasn't the game they beat us, Kevin.
Oh, my God.
To win the World Series. It was Game 7.
I know.
But Game 6 was the moment that we all suffered the most from because we had it right there in our hands.
Oh, from the 8-1-7, I have no faith in this happening. We'll probably bring back Dean Palmer and John Daniels will convince us we're poised for a playoff push. From the 254, send Odor. Why would they? I don't think they would want him. And from the 972, it's stupid that we already traded Mazzara for nothing. I don't know if I agree with that. It freed up a little bit of cash, plus it moved the logjam along.
Okay. The other thing, and we're going to get to this Willie Calhoun audio in just a second, but Chris Woodward was talking a little bit at the West Dallas Urban Youth Academy.
Ooh.
And he said, I know they're probably considering limiting the video access during games, but he said common sense would say just get rid of it all. But obviously you can prepare before the games and use it, but once the game starts, he said, I wouldn't love it. I'd rather have the tool than not have it. I look at it as a valuable tool, but if you say nobody gets access to it, I wouldn't be against that. Do you like the idea of just saying let's strip it all back down and just no video access during games at all?
No, because that does seem like regression. It seems like you should just be able to find a way to police it as opposed to, like, that feels very much like your mom when one of the kids gets in, not your mom, but your mom, like when one of the kids gets in trouble, she's like, you're right, you know what? Then nobody gets to go. And you're like, hold on, we didn't do anything wrong. So I'm sure there are teams that are like, we didn't do anything wrong. Don't take this away from us. And instead, Rob Manfred is going to be our mom.
From the 972, Corey, you son of a B, how dare you bring up Game 6? From the 972, we should start a Game 6 jar every time Corey mentions it.
That's a great idea. That's a great idea. And at the end of every quarter, you have to take all the Tolos out to dinner with whatever money that is. So when it's $400 every 3 months.
What if it's
months,
only $6?
Well, then we're going to have to economize. We're going to buy that jumbo 12-pack of ramen. Maybe, I guess we could afford at least 2 12-packs of ramen for that.
Yeah.
And we'll make it happen up here at the studio.
From the 469, right there with you, Corey, the Ranger. Hold on, no. Sorry, from the 817, how could we forget? You make it a point to say it every single day.
Yes.
I don't make it a point. It just comes up randomly.
It does not.
It doesn't.
All right, let's get to this Willie Calhoun stuff real quick, Kevin, because Willie Calhoun was asked a little bit about the Astros, and he said it was kind of tough to believe how well they were hitting.
I wish I can say it's surprising, but I mean, the way those dudes hit, man, it's just like, it's unbelievable. So I think it just ruins the integrity of the game with that whole situation, just because those dudes are good enough. Like, they're legit superstars as well. So, I mean, those dudes are good enough to do it without doing that. So even for the superstars they are to do it, it's kind of like, oh man, that kind of makes it like unfair, just because, you know, like those are dudes that can do it without the cheating. So yeah, for that, I mean, it's just, you might as well put a pitching machine on the mound and say, here it is, you have to hit it. So I feel like if you do that, if you, any big league hitter, you tell them what's coming, there's a good chance that they're gonna be able to barrel that ball up or at least lay off it if it's a ball.
I mean, and that speaks to the point that we talked about when people are like, oh, you still have to hit the pitch. And he's telling you right there, any big leaguer, if you know what pitch is coming, you can figure it out.
Yeah, I really like that he was so open about that. And Kevin, that's...
And there's no hesitation to him of being like, well, maybe they didn't do it. He's like, well, not really that surprising. You know, like the way they were barreling it up, which is what I had heard from a million different guys.
They're hitting in an unbelievable way. And I know Willie's one of those guys that has the hit tool.
Yep.
So for him to even talk about it in that manner is just pretty fascinating. But, Kevin, you have seen it. He's a pretty open dude. When you start talking to him and you get into the situation, he's pretty open about everything.
We had him at Fanniversary,
too. But he also added this about the Astros and what they cost other people.
People are losing jobs because of the Astros. Like, they're taking money off their plates. So, you know, people are getting sent down. Like, that can mess with people's, like, mental game as well. So, as the year goes on, it'll probably die off. But, I mean, the Astros at least are definitely going to get, like, looked at heavily, like, every game probably. And, you know, they might not be able to get away with that no more.
Now, along those lines, did you see the amazing resolution that the Los Angeles City Council passed last night?
I did see this, yes.
They unanimously approved a resolution urging Major League Baseball to strip away the recent World Series titles from the Astros and the Red Sox. What's hilarious about that is then they would both go to the Los Angeles Dodgers. Let's just stay with me for 1 second.
It's a huge waste of time on city taxes.
It absolutely is. And Rob Manfred already came out and said there are no plans to strip the Astros of the World Series title. Way to stick it to them. Well, then again, he hates baseball, so he loves watching this whole thing.
Why do you think he hates baseball?
Let me ask you this.
He just loves the Astros.
Let's say for some reason this happened. Rob Manfred was like, you know what? Sounds good. And Los Angeles Dodgers are awarded those two World Series. Does anybody think about it differently? Is anybody like, you can't say that about Kershaw. He has two World Series. Like, does that
I
change
start saying
anybody?
That now. I am. I'm going to start saying that from now on.
The city council approved it.
Yeah, I'm just going to, you know what? Because I want to believe it, you know? Just like I want to believe there was no Game 7. Just like I want to believe. And what? Somebody said, Corey, please explain what happened in Game 6.
No!
It was 2011.
No!
Gavin Dawson
Instead,
and I,
I'm going to skip ahead to this. Jim Crane with the Houston Astros, they were doing their fan fest, and he said, quote, when we get down to spring training, we'll all get them together and they'll come out with a strong statement as a team and I think apologize for what happened and move forward. And then later on, he added, in case you said think, he goes, quite frankly, we'll apologize for what happened, ask forgiveness and move forward.
Wow. So he believes that they got to take a certain stance on this, and they're moving in that direction with it.
And if you don't, the questions are never going to end.
FanFest was probably, they did. I don't know how they couldn't expect that to happen, those questions to be asked to those guys, but that was the only story.
Yeah.
That was the only story that was going to be there.
We want to talk about 2020. Oh, do you now? Cool.
Yeah, there was no way anything else was coming out of that thing.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, let's cross talk with the G-Bag Nation, plus your last opportunity of our show to win $1,000. All of that next right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.